Well, now we're going to change gears a bit and go back to one of my millionaire mentors that I was fortunate to have when I was a teenager. You heard him earlier in the program. It's Mana Mathani. Some time had gone by since my first interview with Mana, and because of the positive feedback I received from everybody, Mana was willing to spend more of his valuable time with me again. In this interview, you'll definitely be able to see how much more information I was able to get for you. You know, the nuts and the bolts. Later on in the interview, you'll notice that there are companies that Mana mentions when he talks about mutual funds and other money-making ideas. We have edited those companies out, and we want to make it clear that he nor I are giving financial advice, but these are Mana's viewpoints. So let's get started. Well, we're back again with Mana Mathani. Mana, I want to thank you so much for spending, I know you're going to spend a lot of time with me on this one. And the reason I invited you back again is because I got so much response and so many different people emailing me, calling me when they would see me at seminars. You know that Mana mentor guy of yours, he has really got some neat stuff. So we want to see if we can get every juice out of your brain. So let's get started. There is something that you told me some time ago that I want to start off with, and when you explain it, I want to then share with you how it has actually literally changed the way I do business. You told me that you had an uncle that actually lost $200,000 a year in his business, and he accepted that. And you told me to do that, you have to lower your standards. And of course, you got me all confused because, you know, I'm here to teach people how to do just the opposite of that, to raise the bar, demand more from themselves. Tell me about this story, Mana.
Okay, well, the losing $200,000 is just one end of it. You don't mind losing $200,000, providing you're still making $1 million. And that's the part that maybe the audience needs to hear. Instead of trying to make the full $1.2 million for yourself, what he did was he delegated, he hired people.
What was the business again?
This was retail plus manufacturing Lee jeans, Lee Rangers jeans.
Yeah.
And, you know, people will steal. No matter what, how you look at it, people will steal, especially in factory jobs where most people are paid minimum wage. They will steal. So everyone used to tell him, listen, I mean, every day we see people walking out with packages when they go home, and they're robbing you. And he says, I know they're robbing me, but, you know, if they make a dime, I still make a dollar. So I'm happy, and they're happy. So it's something that you've got to change your mindset to think that way. Otherwise, a regular person would go nuts having whatever, a few hundred to a couple of thousand people working for them. And they would go nuts trying to save every penny from being stolen. And you can't do that. Life doesn't work that way. I mean, Sears, for example, I bet you every day people walk out of that store. Yeah. Even the employees will take stuff, and you know, and I'm not trying to give a bad impression on people that work for people,
right.
But it's life. It happens. It happened to me. It happens to everyone. I bet at one stage it's happened to you,
sure.
Gary. So, but you gotta set your mind. You've gotta set your mind that look, it's okay as long as at the end of the year, I'm still way ahead. Because if these people didn't work for me, I wouldn't make that $1 million. I would only make $50,000 because I'm doing it all myself. So you do the math. $1 million for me, as long as, and I lose $200,000, I'm still better off. And this was my uncle's theory. And it did change my life. You know, I went into a chain of jewelry stores, and as you say, it's kind of changed your way of thinking. You can't do it all by yourself. No man is an island, and you must learn to delegate, and not only delegate, but you must learn to give up some of your perfectionism.
Because
when you do it yourself, it's got to be right. when someone else does it, no matter what, it's different from the picture you had in your mind.
Yep.
But if it gets the job done, if I go to approach a wholesaler or so, and I want to sell some jeans to them, I may wear a different type of clothing than you would. I may wear a different cologne. I may have a different mood. But if I send a salesman, he'll do it differently, but he'll still get the job done. It won't be the way I want it, but it'll still be done. He may not even get as big an order, but that's okay. If my order would have been for $100,000 and the salesman could only sell 60, 70, 80, that's okay, because I would have 10 salesmen out there. So instead of $100,000, I'm making $600,000 in sales. So in the long run, it pays off. The way of doing business that way pays off. Why would Walmart open, I don't know, it's an obscene amount of stores. I know it runs into thousands. I mean, they could have had one and not have any pilferage. Pilferage is part of the business. So they've opened so many. They got lazy people. They got people in the back room sleeping. They got people taking merchandise out the back door. They got people who really don't earn any of their salary, but they're still making money.
Yeah.
So a nickel, 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 nickel 20 times is a buck. Or one dime once is still a dime. And I'm interested in the buck, not the dime.
Right. So basically what we're trying to do here, man, is we're trying to help people to get away from the small business mentality. Because what I'm teaching people now from our last conversation was, you know, a lot of people, especially when you first start a business, you're under the mentality, if you want it done right, do it yourself. And if we want to grow our business, we got to eliminate that thought process.
There are a lot of things that are different today that were true yesterday. When I say yesterday, I mean
right.
Maybe last century, someone said, a penny saved is a penny earned. That is not true anymore. Now, you're looking at me like I'm nuts. A penny saved is not a penny earned. A penny saved is like 5 cents earned, because there's a investment and make profit on that penny value 10, 20, 30 years from now.
Make it work for you.
Yes. So, because in the old days, they took the money and put it under their mattresses.
Right.
We don't do that. We invest our money. So, really, every time you save a penny or a small amount, it's really 5 or 10 times more. It's the rule of thumb is you double your money every 7 years. That's on 15%. It's a fair rule according to history.
Mm.
And therefore, if someone is, say, 30 years old, and they're going to retire at 65, that's 35 years. There are 5 sevens in 35.
Right.
That means 5 times that will double. So if you have a penny, you save, say you saved $1,000, you squeeze, you didn't have cable, you didn't buy that extra pair of shoes, you just saved $1,000 a year. Multiply it once in that 5 unit of 7.
Right.
Multiply it once, it's the first unit, it's 2,000. The second unit is 4,000. The third unit is 8, 16, and 32. So in other words, a penny saved is $3.20.
Right.
Now, you might say, what kind of new math is this? This is real math. This is real world. This works. And believe it or not, 35 years passes quickly.
Yes, it does.
A blink of an eye. Just the other day, you and I were kids.
Yeah.
I remember you were walking around playing with a stick and hitting stones. You were 4 feet tall. Now you're 7 foot. You got family.
Not quite,
this was just
yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah, right.
So 30 years, 35 years goes, and you got to do it now. Now, that's only if you save the $1,000 once.
Right. See, that's a good point, because a lot of times people, if they're in their 20s or their 30s, they can't, and they have a hard time seeing that they're going to be 65. And they've got to do, like you said, they've got to do something now.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, if I could swear upon one thing, and I don't like to use the word swear, but I'm using the word in a strong feeling way.
Yeah.
It's so easy for a 20-year-old to retire a millionaire without even working very hard that it's hard to believe. Just sit and do the math. Just do what I just said. If he's 20 years old, he or she, and they retire, and remember, by the time they reach 65, that's not the retirement age anymore.
Right.
It's 85, because we live longer.
Yeah.
We're going to live to be 100, 120. So say 85, and I'm just picking numbers
sure.
out of the air. So now that person has 65 years of time to make money. $1 million in 65 years it's like chicken feed. It's so easy. It ain't funny. If you take only the one year, and then you do that double your money
right.
every 7 years, that'll be like $6 on a penny. So each thousand is like $60,000.
Right. Now, we're not giving in financial advice, but where would you suggest somebody put, what you're saying for that $1,000, they really need to look for something that'll give them 15%?
15% is not undoable. It's not a far-reaching. If you go back and check the history of, I don't know, maybe stock market, real estate, 15% is not undoable. It's reasonable, and especially now where the sky is the limit, where all this new technology is coming out, these companies are going to be... I mean, look at Bill Gates. In a matter of, what, 10, 15, 20 years, the man has... I have to use the word jillions. I mean, he's got billions and billions and billions of dollars. And he's got more money than the gross national product
yeah.
of most countries. How? It's technology. And that'll still carry us all the way through. So... 15% is not difficult. If you go into your own business, 15% is not good. If you're only making
right.
15%, you're in trouble. So if you go into your own business, hey, you're making 50, 60, 70, 80% on your money. It's doable. I mean, if someone would take a pen and put it to the paper and just follow this formula, what I'm saying. Now, this is theoretical, yes,
sure.
but it's also practical.
Possible.
It works. It works.
Good point. Well, let's go back a little bit to that mentality of that small business owner. And I want to elaborate on that a little bit, because let me share with you quickly what it's done for me. When you told me about all this, what it did for me was, especially as you know, I piddle, you know, with aviation, and I put a lot of my money into that. And I saw and found myself doing a lot of the work myself, which I didn't mind doing because I wanted to learn the industry. But I had the mentality, if I want it done right, do it yourself. And I had to change that, especially after that conversation. And here's the funny thing that happened, and I'm sure it's going to happen to a lot of people who are willing to let go, is I had one gentleman actually pull my airplane out of the hangar and push it back in. I never have anybody do that, because if they run it into something, it's a lot of money. So I let it go, let somebody do it, and they put a hole right through the nose of the airplane, $700. The first thing I thought about is I have to let go. And if I want it done right, do it myself, but I can't be there all the time. So I, you know, $700 damage, and I've created some losses because of this, but I will tell you, because I focused more in my speaking and my marketing, I have nearly tripled my income and my sales just within 1 year.
There you go, Gary. You're understanding the principle that we're talking about. It makes sense. You're duplicating yourself.
Sure. And what I think that we ought to share with people is when you get to a certain level, when you can think like this, you need to have other people doing things for you. So some people may say, well, I don't have the money to do that yet. I think they ought to do it in bites then. You know, if they are mowing the yard, and we talked about this, you know, in your first interview,
yes.
I think even though they can't afford it, I think once every 3 months they ought to pay somebody to do it just to get into the mentality of having somebody doing other things and something maybe that they're used to doing and they think they're the best at, having them get somebody else to do it just to learn it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let me step back a little bit.
Okay.
When you have a business in the beginning, you pretty much almost have to do everything yourself. So there's nothing wrong with doing everything yourself.
Good
and
point.
I know you swept your place, you cleaned your own toilets, you answered your phone, you hooked up your own equipment, you laid your carpet. I know you did all that because you had to because of... you were a small business, and you worked 18 hours, 19, 20 hours a day. You've got to do that. But as you grow, you've got to concentrate on where the money is. You've got to say, where is my bread and butter? It's not in hanging the new trophy that I got. Let someone else do it. And if it's a little cross-eyed up on the wall, twisted, let it be. Move on, concentrate on where the money is. Go for the bucks. Follow the money. You know, and that's how you slowly go from small to big. You let go slowly. You shed the skin.
The skin, yeah.
Slowly, slowly. Eventually, it'll become second nature to you. And those people will practice. They'll see your work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
They'll follow you. They'll see that you're a success. They will do a good job for you. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the IBMs and the J.C. Penney's and the Lord and Taylor's and the Dill. We wouldn't have those companies if those people decided to do it by themselves.
Right.
So it works.
And you know, that mentality did something for me because I just recently moved into a new office, as you know, and I made a mindset on this one that once I work my way into this office, I'm going to do nothing. So I did nothing. I didn't pick up a brush. I didn't paint anything. I didn't lay the carpet. I didn't put in any equipment. And even though it cost me X amount of, I don't know, $10,000, $15,000 to do, but that would have taken me months and months to do when I'd rather have taken that time, spent it with the family, be in the office, make more sales, et cetera, et cetera. So that's true. It works.
Exactly. You spent $15,000 doing it, but then you probably made $80,000 in profit doing other things.
Exactly.
So there's one phrase I want everyone to remember. I don't know if I've mentioned this before.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, I'm getting senile, so I don't know.
We'll
sometimes
forgive you.
I repeat the same thing, but this is a very, very, very important phrase. This is the most important sentence in my life. You have to learn to work on the business, not in the business. And that is the key factor to everything.
Give me a bunch more on this now. What does all that mean, Mana?
Working in the business is doing that carpet and doing the little things and attending to every client yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Working on the business is having other people do the attending to the clients and so on, but you drive the customers into your place.
Mm.
That's on the business. You place certain strategic ads in the paper or whatever it is your business requires, how you get people in. You go out there and pound the pavement and go to the office buildings and pull out your business card and you know, introduce your company. You know, everything depends on what you do. But work on the business. I wish I could say it.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you say that working in the business means, too, that the business is controlling you instead of you controlling it?
No. Yes and no. It controls your time.
Right,
working
of course.
Working in the business controls your time. And your time is your money.
Is
why do some people earn $1,000 an hour and some people earn $6 an hour? You've got to say to yourself, your time is $1,000 an hour. So stop doing the little itty-bitty stuff that you can have someone else that you can pay the $6 or the $7, and I'm not belittling that person. But there are people out there, that's all they want. School kids, college kids. Hey, you know, they just want a little pocket money, and but they have the talent. Let them do it. You work on the bigger. You make that phone call that you can talk to your client, a particular client, for an hour or half an hour or 10 minutes or whatever, or schmooze them and sell or make the deal, whatever it is. You're selling. That's where your time should be, on the business.
Makes sense. We had said in the conversation that you feel that you can teach anybody, a 20-year-old, to be successful by showing them how to have a better self-concept before they experience success. Why and where does that play an important role about your personal self-concept with regards to feeling competent or confident about your success? How do you feel that plays such an important role, which I certainly agree with you?
Well, you have to, first of all, have confidence in your product or in yourself. You've got to like what you do.
Yeah.
You know, if Gary, you asked me to clean pools for a living, I won't like it because I have lower back pain. I won't enjoy it. It'll be a literal pain in the butt. So.
Or in the back.
No. In the back. And.
And work down to the butt.
And so, really, you've got to. Your heart and soul has got to like what you do. You've got to pick a vocation that is you. Some people are great interior decorators. Some people are fantastic car mechanics. Some people are great salespeople. But to each their own. You, whatever you're good at, that's where you go for your money. That's where your money lies. So that minds that gives you confidence in yourself.
Sure.
That makes you want to wake up early in the morning, dying to go to work. That makes you not want to sleep at night because you feel like, geez, why won't the morning come? You know, I'm dying to go out there and do so and so. And you felt that, and I have felt that. But that's how strongly you must feel about your business.
And that's true, because even to this day, it's not uncommon for me to get up at 5 o'clock, or I should say be in the office at 5 o'clock, and I've done that several times this week. And I tell you, what's made me do a lot of that is in your last interview that we had about the gentleman who, the gentleman...
Edward DeBartolo.
DeBartolo, yeah, how you told me he'd get in there at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, my thinking on a lot of this is, and I agree with it, is you've got to maintain a balance. You know, your faith, family got to be very important, friends. Business comes in there. And a lot of times I have a saying, if my plate is too full, I usually just go ahead and get a bigger plate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can take some of the food off, of course, but I feel getting a bigger plate means sometimes getting up a little bit earlier. Because if I have to get up a couple hours, 3 hours earlier, no one's really going to miss me. So if I sneak into the office at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I can get a lot of stuff done, obviously.
You can get almost a day's worth of work done because it's quiet.
Yep.
The phones aren't ringing. Your mind, for some reason, is fresher. You're thinking clearer.
Mm.
It's just happiness.
And I'm thinking, too, there's people listening to this that some people say, yep, yep, yep. And there's other people saying, oh, man, I could never do that. So if they're saying that, the latter part, that's a measuring rod for them to let them know, well, maybe you don't enjoy what you're doing enough.
Exactly. Or some people are night owls.
Yeah. Okay. So they go the other end.
Right.
Sure.
So you can you many nights I've worked 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yep.
Till the sun is coming up, and because time just flies by. But I love what I do.
Right.
So it's like, you know, who needs to eat or sleep? You've got to love it. The passion.
Yeah.
Has got to be there.
And that's why I'm interviewing people like yourself, because one thing that all of you as my mentors have in common is that passion. You know, I had mentioned to you I interviewed Bernie Little, nearly 80 years old, and the man just can't leave the office, and he's dying to get there, and he has that passion. Now, when we had done our first interview, has that been 2 years? No, a year, maybe a year.
No, maybe a year.
Maybe about a year or so. You had retired from your business. You sold your business. You had retired. You did very well, obviously, selling it. And one of the things I'm sharing with people is, you know, a lot of people who don't have money, they have this concept that, boy, when I get successful, I'm going to live in the mountains or live on the beach. I'm going to play golf all day long. And I'm helping people realize that gets very, very boring.
Yeah.
And you've proved it. How long did you stay retired? And now you've bought three franchises and you're starting all over again. Tell me your mindset on that. Tell me your mindset, I'm sure, that you had before you start. You're telling your wife, you know, when we get successful at this, we're going to sell it 15 years from now. We're going to retire. And you did. Why'd you go back?
Well, because all my friends were working, you know.
They couldn't keep up with living on the beach all day long.
You know, whatever you do, you know, you've got to share it with people that are your friends, your family, your loved ones. And it's hard to do something by yourself. I mean, you know, if I want to go play golf or so, I'll call Gary or I'll call somebody that enjoys the game. But when I'm ready to play, they are working.
Right.
So it was boring, got boring, you know. It's like when a baby wakes up in the middle of the night, that baby is wide awake, ready to play. And the parents are just dead beat.
Yep.
And it's the other way around in the morning. The parents have to get up, and that baby is fast asleep. So it just doesn't work. I mean, I realize now that retirement is not doing nothing. Retirement is doing what you like. But if you do what you like from the very beginning, you are retired.
Yeah.
You know, providing, of course, you're making some money.
Right, you're going to have to pay those to get there.
Right, right. Someone has, who listening to this, has to stop and think about what we're saying. It's a deeper philosophy than just on the surface.
A lot of people, I mean, they really do have my mind that you know, I'm just going to get to a certain level and I'm just going to quit and retire. We're not designed to do that as humans.
Well, they can have that goal. There's nothing wrong with it. Do the goal, reach the goal.
Good point. Very good point.
Once you reach the goal, guess what? You can do anything you desire.
Exactly.
If you want to just play marbles in your backyard, do it.
Do it, yeah.
If you want to plant flowers, do it. If you want to go back to working or doing what you enjoy, do it. Now, that's success. That's, to me, that is the true meaning of success. Success is doing what you want to do. And that's retirement, too. Most people that are retired are also working. A lot of my friends are still working. A lot of them have retired. A lot of them have not retired. They're still making boku bucks. I feel bad for them because they're still working 12, 15 hours. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, you can't take it with you. I haven't seen anybody take it with them. It doesn't make sense. Why give up a good life that God gave you? Why not even go out there and do some charity work?
Yeah.
And it's selfish. Charity work, I believe, is selfish because it makes you feel better. And you do something for a kid, or you collect 50 bicycles for Christmas and you give them out. You feel good. It is selfish, but nothing wrong with that. Do it. You're still in retirement, but you're still working. You're working for a cause. You're helping other people. Where, you know, and I'm not trying to get religious on you or
it's important.
It's part of life.
Yeah.
God said to reach forth and help the next guy. Whatever you do for him, you're doing for me. And there are a lot of unfortunate people. So if you have reached your level of success, and your level of success is different from my level of success.
Right.
Some people may say, hey, $5 million, that's my goal. I'm successful. Some people say no. $5 billion. Some people might say no. $500,000. So whatever your goal is, hey, good for you. More power to you. God bless you. But at the same time, turn around and help someone else. And don't help someone else after you've arrived.
Yeah, good point.
Help
Keep
someone
going.
As you're going up the ladder, because believe it or not, the hand of God will be helping you while you help others. And that's, I found that's very important. I feel that's for your soul. You need that. You know, it's like when my kids are around me, I have to have a hug, a tight hug every half an hour. It's like I need a glass of water again. Right. So I just call the nearest, my nearest daughter and say, I need a hug. And she'll give me a tight hug. I need that. Your soul needs that type of replenishing of good feelings and happiness. And that comes from helping others.
And that's why I like the term personal growth, but if we're not careful, we'll get a little over-focused on me, 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 me. And
selfish.
In fact, for those of you who are listening, and the reason I say this, man, I just put what you just said in one of the CDs before this, and this is not scripted, so Manna did not have this information, the fact that you said that it's so important to give back.
Oh, yes.
It really is. Let's talk a little bit about some of the nuts and bolts about business. You have a system that you call your dad's list. And tell me a little bit about this.
Boy, Gary, this would take care of your 20...
20 CDs? Well, let's go. That's what they're there for. They've invested good money. We want nuts and bolts. We don't want the fluff.